I need to take just 30 seconds. I said, can you keep on playing just for a minute? I just didn't need to take 30 seconds. But we'll have times like this, and maybe we have guests here for the first time. Maybe you're not here for the first time, but you've never experienced what we just went through, what we just... So let me explain it to you. First of all, let me say this. It's very, very biblical. It's in the Word of God. But here's what happens. Many times when you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, it can be like kind of frightening and scary. Because it's something, listen, that you're maybe not so used to. And so I need to take 30 seconds and say, hey, listen, we're a church that doesn't just want to have services to have services. But we want to have services where God can move and that we have leadership who will be sensitive and be willing to move with God. See, we believe that what I'm going to teach in a little while is that God is way smarter than all of us. And if we'll tap, but here's the cool thing about God. If we'll tap into his frequency, he's not like, nah, you can't have it. He's like, man, I want to give you my will. I want to give you my knowledge. I want to give you my understanding. I want to be a blessing to you that you can live in on this earth in a supernatural power and understanding. I don't know why. I think it's just because we get in such control. You're the same way. You want to control everything. And you know what? God, let me tell you Christianity 101. You lose control. Is that not right? And we don't like it. And the same thing happens with churches and leaders and like, I don't want to, you know what I mean? I want to control. Listen, we've got to trust God. Now let me say one more thing because I need to make this point. You know what? Did you notice I didn't jump up on this chandelier and I wasn't swinging off the chandelier? Did anybody notice that? What's my point? Here's what the Bible says: Let everything be done in decency and order. What decency and order means? Let it be done by the order of the Holy Spirit. And if you look at Paul's writings, the New Testament. And ordered by someone that I have delegated in, you're in charge. And that so happens to be me in this body, Christ. So I knew what was going on, and I, you know, directed Isaac, here's what I want you to do. And then I just took about 30 seconds to kind of sense what's the Holy Spirit. Because I don't want to just go, you know, I don't want to just do something, you know what I mean? And so I've learned to just take the time and get your bearings that you don't go before the Holy Spirit. You wait and get direction. And I went, I was kind of trying to sense, and then I got direction. I knew exactly what the Holy Spirit was going to do. And so, and not that I, you know, not that I'm infallible, because, you know, Lord knows that's not true. But I will need to teach you what's going on so you don't think, man, I went to one of those crazy churches that aren't biblical. No, no, no. You went to a church that is biblical. Amen. And listen, and nothing got away from decency and order. Okay? Decency and order doesn't mean we sit there and don't get up and dance. That doesn't mean decency. Some people interpret that and go, oh, you know, you were, and that one guy was running around and that was out of order. No, it wasn't out of order. It was in order. It was, if it was out of order, I would have said, hey, tell that guy, knock it off. He's out of order right now. And I've learned enough to be able to have the backbone. There was a time I wouldn't have done that. But now I've learned enough to have a backbone to be able to direct it. And I know, you know, sometimes people get upset if you tell them, sit down, you're out of order. But so be it. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to upset anybody. But I have a mandate from the Word of God that let everything be done decently in order. So I judge it, okay? Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. We're so glad you're here. Maybe you're here for the first time. We want to welcome you to Hope Community Church. I want to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Drew. My wife is in the front row. She's Pastor Tamara. And we're so glad that you're here. It is our, we're just honored that you came here today. And that's not just new guests, that's everybody. It is honoring that you would come here and worship with us, and we're so glad that you're here. I want to welcome everybody. When you first came in, you're given a bulletin or a brochure or a pamphlet or a something, I don't know, a piece of paper. But on that group of papers, there's another piece of paper. It's a tear-off. You can tear it right off, and we're asking that you would fill it out. If you don't have it, just raise up your hands. The ushers will get you one quickly and quietly. But you can just fill that out. If you fill that out, we're only going to do two things. I want you to know what those two things are. One is we want to call you to thank you, not to pester you or bother you, but just to simply thank you. We know it takes energy and effort to come to a place for the first time. And again, we don't want to bother you, but we want to thank you for coming. It will be a short conversation on the phone. And literally, we're just going to call you and say, hey, thanks for coming. Do you have any questions about the church? And then maybe you'd like us, maybe you have questions, we can answer those. Maybe you'd like us to pray with you. We'd love to do that. Okay. But we don't want to impose ourselves on you, but we do want to thank you. The other thing we want to do is send you something. The mail tells you about our church. We have two services in English. We have a service in Spanish. We have a midweek service. We have a lot of cool things going on. We want to let you know those things. We have camp that we're going to, and we want to let you know what's going on in our church. All right. For everyone else, could you just make sure you fill this out too? Just put your name, your phone number, your email address. If you add your email address to our email list, then we'll send you out the preaching of the Word of God every Sunday and every Wednesday. We send it once a week, but Sunday and Wednesday services, so that'll be a blessing. Let's talk about tithes and offerings for a minute, can I? I say this in first service, want to repeat this. When Tamara's boss, he's a cool guy, but you know what? I don't have season tickets for the Angels. I don't. Okay. But he does. Amen. And not only does he have season tickets for the Angels, but he has season tickets in a row that's like really, really, I love it because I can see the difference when the pitcher pitched a fastball. You know what, where I used to sit, I didn't know a fastball, a curveball. I couldn't, you know, it's too far away. It's like, you know, I could barely tell if it was a foul ball. You know what I mean? But the seats that he has, I can see the difference between the fastball and the changeup. And it's just so entertaining. It's so awesome to watch a game that way. But here's what happens. When Steve lets me, that's the name of her boss, Steve lets me in his world. He lets me in his world. And I'm sitting there, and you know what? And I'm eating a hot dog. And you know what? Just like all the other rich people who can afford that. Those seats, right? Is that not right? I mean, it's, man, I'm there and I'm enjoying it. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I want to make you a correlation to. When you bring the tithes and offerings in the storehouse, here's what God affords you. He affords you into his world. That's what it's about. Here's what he says. I will, to those of you who bring the tithes and offerings in the storehouse with a good, happy, hilarious heart, here's what I'll do. I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on the windows of heaven. See, that's his world. And now he's opening that window up to you. Can I tell you what? It takes some courage. It takes some courage. It takes some trust to bring the tithes in the storehouse. I know it does. But I'm telling you what, it is a huge blessing. Because when you do, sometimes Steve will say, oh, you know what, Drew? Just go to the will call. Just go to the will call and you can get those tickets. Just say they're from Steve and you have to have your ID, show them who you are, but boom, they're right there at the will call. Can I tell you what? I could be out front of that stadium going, man, I wish I could get in. I wish I could get in. I wish I could get in. And the whole time, the truth is, I can get in. But what I have to do is I have to go to the will call and say, hey, I'm Drew Cohen, here's my ID, and I want my tickets, amen? When you bring the tithes and offerings in the storehouse, here's what you're doing. You're opening up the windows of heaven, and it is God's good pleasure to give to you, and he wants to do that. But you know what? He wants you to be, and this is not manipulative. This is real. This is the truth. This is God's plan of blessing you. And so we don't even, I don't want to do it. You know, I could say, I don't want to do that, Steve. I don't want to do it that way. You know what I mean? I want to just, and Christians do that, do we not? I'm going to do it my way. God's like, okay, you do it, whatever. But you know what? I hope you enjoy it from the outside. Because let me tell you what, I'm not changing being God. you know what? I'm not, listen, you're not in control. You know what? You are the one. I made you. I know that's straightforward, but I tell you what, I want to submit to his will. Amen. I come in agreement with my wife in the name of Jesus. I thank you that people will step out in faith and have the courage and have the humility to, Father, do it your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand up to our feet. Cries out to you. Deep cries out. Deep cries out to you. Amen. Father, we lift up these tithes and offerings up to you. We, Father, thank you that we are stepping out in faith, that people are putting their trust in you, Father, and it's not just with words, but Father, it's in tangible actions. Father, we thank you that this is holy. It's separated unto you, so we give it to you, and we thank you, Father, for faith. And trust, and we trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
said, while the storm clouds are brewing far across the sea, which is exactly what was happening in Europe in 1938, as the song touched a lot of Americans back then. And America was that back then was not afraid to align itself with God. And I wish we still had that today. What we're doing today is we're going to present some good old-fashioned American patriotism, something that this country doesn't have or will practice in many places, but in places like our church and other places, they still do, and I thank God for them. Some things we have to remember is the things that made this country great, because you see, tomorrow's 4th of July, and today's 4th of July Sunday, so we're going to celebrate it today with some things we're going to present to you, of course, but where we stop and think, where did all this come from? Well, we start to remember our founding fathers, okay? When we talk about founding fathers, we talk about men like Washington, Benjamin Franklin, men who stood, and of course, Thomas Jefferson. And it was Thomas Jefferson that said some words, and it kind of haunts us today. He said, for those who are willing to give up freedom for security, will have neither. And sometimes you think, well, maybe what's going on today? We have to worry about those things. I was at my VFW post, and at one of the meetings we had, and I'll share this with you. Some of the veterans were kind of down, depressed, they were down, things aren't the way it used to be, America this, America that, and what are we doing? And then they were kind of defeated. These guys are a couple of Korean War veterans. And I said to them, don't feel that way. Come on, we have to still hold our flag up and feel that way. One of the guys said, Josh, you sound like an old-fashioned flag waver. And I said, amen. And you're not? Yeah. I said, yeah, I am, and I'm proud to do it. And so should you be, I told him. Okay, you've done a little doubt, but forget it. Get up, lead the way. That's what the American Legion and Veterans of Foreign Wars, those who have been in active service are all about. We back them up. If not us, who? Right? That's where it's at. So I told him that there. And then, one of those things. And so, one of the things that you hear, and later on we will recite the Pledge of Allegiance for you, but are the words, under God. They were not added to our Pledge of Allegiance until 1954 by an act of Congress. Why? Well, the Korean War had just ended, but the Soviet threat and the Red Chinese threat were very real and climbing and growing. So communism do not believe in God. They dispel the belief in God. When we turn around and win the opposite, we believe in God. We put in our Pledge of Allegiance, and we're not afraid to say it. In God we trust. Okay? And it's still that way today. Just look at your money. Open up the dollar bill and see what it says. I went to the bank not too long ago, and they were giving me these new dollars. They have these new gold dollar bills. They're not gold, but they're gold coins. You've seen them. They got presidents on them, different presidents. And she gave me a couple of those, and I said, new dollar bills. I looked at it, and it is those new, they call them Obama dollars because they have taken off In God We Trust. It's not on there. So there were people behind me, and yeah, okay, so I kind of handled it a bit. I looked at that, and I said, I don't want this funny money. And I took it back to her like that. She goes, what? I don't want, and I was loud enough, I was obnoxious. I wasn't mad, I said, I don't want this funny money. That's an Obama money. He took In God We Trust off of it. I don't want it. Give me some regular dollar bills. She gave it to you. I'm sorry. So it's not against you, honey. It's okay. So she gave me a couple dollar bills. And I was walking by some guy that said, way to go, bro. And I said, oh. So somebody said, somebody will walk it out. That's just me. Yeah, but that's what he's trying to do. And they're trying to take that away from us. But we have to remember that God is still ahead of this country. God-fearing men, we still have our freedom, and it's been paid for. One of the things that I learned in college in a history class was simply this. There are three things that make this nation great and why we're still here. Okay. One, we are strategically located on the world between two vast oceans that have always kept our enemies away. Okay. Two, we pride ourselves in having, since December 7th, since then, we pride ourselves in having a strong military in all branches ready to go at any time
That's right.
to defend this country and its allies. they were going to give tribute to our flag. Remember what it stands for. When you look at our flag, its design, stars and stripes, there's no other flag like it on this earth. No other flag like it.
That's right.
And I've seen it on posters where they have all the flags of the world and we're there too, and it stands out.
That's right. Yes, it does.
It's broad stripes and bright stars. Through the perilous fight, gave proof to the night that our flag was still there.
That's right.
With the words that Francis Scott Key wrote and he put into a poem that later became our national anthem. So we look at our flag, and if our flag could talk, if it could talk and say something to us, what would it say? Well, let's take a word in this famous poem that was written and see exactly what the flag would say. It's entitled, Remember Me. About to hear her speak. Hello, remember me? Some people call me Old Glory, others call me the Star-Spangled Banner. Whatever name you call me, I am your flag. The flag of the United States of America. But something has been bothering me, so I thought I might talk it over with you because it's about you and about me. I remember some time ago people would line up on both sides of the street to watch parades. Naturally, I was leading everyone, proudly waving in the breeze. And when your daddy saw me coming, he immediately removed his hat and placed it against his left shoulder so that his hand was directly over his heart. Remember? And you, I remember standing there straight as a shoulder. You didn't have a hat on, but you were giving the right salute. And remember your little sister? Not to be outdone, she was saluting the same as you with her hand over her heart. Remember? What happened? I'm still the same old flag. Oh, I've added a few more stars since you were a boy, and a lot of more blood has been shed since those parades of long ago. And now somehow I don't feel as proud as I used to feel. When I come down the street, you just stand there with your hands in your pockets. You may give me a small glance and then you look away. When I see children running around and shouting, they don't seem to know who I am. I saw one man take off his hat, and when he didn't see anyone else take off his, he quickly put his back on. Is it a sin to be patriotic today? Have you forgotten what I stand for and where I've been? Anzio, Guadalcanal, Korea, Vietnam, and Desert Storm. Take a look at the memorial honor roll of the names of those patriotic Americans who gave their lives to keep this republic free. And when you salute me, you are actually saluting them. Well, it won't be long until I'll be coming down the street again. And when you see me, please stand up straight and place your hand over your heart. And I'll know that you remembered. I'll salute you by waving back.
Okay, girls.
I pledge allegiance. The call to commitment is an extremely radical, very personal call to the rally around the cause of freedom, the very core of my identity.
Allegiance.
I
do personally solemnly vow my allegiance, my loyalty, my fidelity
to the flag. Of the United States of America. The United States, our identity from the inside out. America, our identity from the outside in. We, the people, are a powerfully united entity, and the entire civilized world recognizes the strength of our solidarity, whether applauded or despised, our unity is anything but ignored. And to the Republic. For what it stands.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, the date which will live in infamy of the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God. Franklin D. Roosevelt.
One nation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with a certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence.
Under God.
Indivisible.
Let us do our duty in our shop, our kitchen, in the market, the street, the office, the school, the home, just as faithfully as if we stood in the front rank of some great battle.
With liberty. Liberty. The very word ignites with the embers of our fierce independence fanning into a full flame the deepest passion that exists within the heart of a true patriot.
And justice.
For all. For tiny babies just born who sleep in the innocence through the long night of freedom's fight.
For old men who sit on porches fondling tarnished medals adorned with faded, crumbling ribbons. Remembering their battles as they watch younger patriots now bear arms.
Those are our readers. You can tell they're a walking flag.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Come on. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I'd like you all now to stand and join us as we give the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. Place the flag and place your right hand over your heart and repeat after us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Thank you, Joshua, for your leadership, and we need leadership in this area. I like what Tamara said in the first service. It's not just about patriotism; it's about freedom. Kind of goes into a little bit what I'll be talking about today. The reality is that that the freedoms that we, or the reason why the laws are being changed in America is because in America we've gotten, Anthony, can you get me that, bring that up there? The reason why the freedoms, the laws are being changed is because the mentality is changing in America. And the mentality is gone from a mentality that at one point in time, whether you went to church or not, we held a common belief. And the common belief that was that that the Ten Commandments at their core were good to run a country and to be disciplined under. And the reason why America has enjoyed the prosperity that we have enjoyed economically. Understand this. I need to be turned down a little bit. Understand this, that the military might only comes with economic prosperity. There's no poor countries, you know what, buying, you know, F1, you know, whatever, Phantom jet bombers, you know what I mean? Do you know this is true? But our prosperity economically has blessed us in so many ways. And the reality is, I quote it all the time, the Bible says that God's paths are dripping with abundance. That's what Psalms says. God's paths are dripping with abundance. It's not, listen, we didn't become a great nation because we got lucky. It doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with honoring God. Listen, when you honor God, you're going to prosper. Yeah, I'll give you another chance to say amen. When you honor God, you're going to prosper. Okay, God's will, God's ways are higher than your ways. And so this country, I don't make light of some of the atrocities that this country has done. I don't make light of it. But I point out that it's because of biblical understanding that this country has made amends for some of the things that have been wrong. And that has been a blessing. And so as we retreat from God's ways, so we will retreat from his blessings. And one of the things that God has called Tamara and I to do, and you got to listen real quick today because I got a lot to say in a little time. Can you listen real quick today? One of the things that God has called Tamara and I to do is to speak to you very directly and say, listen, you cannot rely on the protection of God to protect you now because you live in a godly country. You don't expect that. You now need to take responsibility for your own family. Amen? So as we've instructed, you need to start praying, you know, at Psalms 91 over your family. As I started talking about last week, you need to take responsibility. Now, we saw it, little review real quick. We saw it in 1 Timothy last week, and we see where Paul is writing Timothy, and he's saying, hey, listen, make sure that you are reading. And what he's talking about specifically is that you are reading your Bible. And so he says this. Oh, yeah, let's do this first. Put your Bible over your head. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. Having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Paul writes Timothy and he says this, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. One of the things that he wants you to give yourself entirely to is this, is the reading of the Word of God. Can I tell you your problem? Love you guys. Can I tell you a problem? Somebody come to church to hear the word of God today? Can I be transparent with you? Can I be honest with you? Can I do a word up today? Amen? Pastor, that's so old school. Whatever. Okay. I want to be real with you and tell you your problem. Your problem is the same problem I have. Love you guys. We're stupid. I don't think you should say that. Okay. You're not very intelligent, okay? Is that better? Okay. And be honest with you. And listen, neither am I. Say, I couldn't even say listen right. Did you catch that? Okay. Listen, neither am I. But how many know God's ways are higher than your ways? And so Paul is writing Timothy and saying, Timothy, here's what you need to do. You need to set time aside. You need to prioritize. You need to keep this fundamental in front of your face. You need to prioritize. You need to say, this is the most important thing. So interesting. We get so busy. And we, with all seriousness, we'll look at somebody, man, I'm just too busy, man. I'm sorry, and I'm too busy to read the Bible. Really? No, really. Are you crazy? You're too busy to read the word of God that's going to bring wisdom to your life and save your marriage. Is that how busy you are? You're too busy to go to work because you got to make a bunch of money. And where the word of God says you need to value this more than gold, more than even fine gold, the Bible says. See, can I tell you what? This will save your marriage. We read it last week. Look what it says. It's going to save you. It'll save you. And yet, we get so busy. I'm just so busy. Can I tell you what? We need to take the time. Now, where did we read yesterday? We read at Hope Community Church, at Hope Community Church, we read our Bible
every day.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Listen, and I'm not here to criticize you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to belittle you in any way. When I say that we're not smart, I mean we're all not that smart. But here's what the Bible says. That humility, you know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you start to recognize, not that you're afraid of God, but when you start to recognize, man, God is way, you know what the fear of the Lord is really saying? God is way smarter than I am. And when you'll recognize that, the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. Grace is the supernatural power. How many would like to walk in supernatural, how many would like to walk in supernatural power in your finances? Raise your hand if you're like, a supernatural power in your finances. Not natural power, supernatural power. That you would be able to figure things out that other people, through reading the Wall Street Journal, couldn't figure out, but you could figure out because the Holy Spirit would show it to you. How many would like to walk in that power? Well, you're too busy to read the Bible that will give you that supernatural wisdom. How many remember what it felt like when you were totally in love with your wife? See, you know, Pastor, do I raise my hand? Don't raise your hand right now, okay? I didn't raise my hand. Okay. You know what I'm talking about? You know what? When she would come into the room and you'd go, she's here. Can I tell you the truth? You can have that back. That's a lie from the pit of hell that told you, you know what, that you can't have that. You can't have a wonderful marriage. Oh, you know, these kids, they're just going to hell in a handbasket. You know, hell in a handbasket. Oh, really? Really? Man, we got youth at this church that are on fire. They're going to heaven in a rocket. That's what they're going to heaven. Amen. 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 And can you be wise? Can you be wise to bring your kids to church? You know what? Can you read the Bible and see something and go, oh my goodness, the Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. See, is there things, can you be smart enough to recognize that you're not smart enough? Somebody tweet that, please. Pastor Drew said that. Okay, that was good. That was tweetable. Yeah, tweet that doesn't mean say tweet, tweet. Amen. It means write it down and get it on the internet. What did I just say? Can you be smart enough? Yeah, now we're going to quote Mickey to say that, okay? Because she didn't say it, but she remembered it, okay? Amen. Can we be smart enough to recognize that we're not smart enough to run our own lives? All I'm suggesting, and I have this, I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down. Putting God first place every day will. Putting God first place, putting God first place every day will, in a short period of time, have a powerful accumulative effect. Putting God first place in your life every day will have a powerful accumulative effect in your life. Here's what we want. Here's where we're at. Here's where we live. We live in a place and we are so, be honest, you know what, the junk food intake of not you or that, not the person next to you, but the person sitting way over on that side. Okay, let's say that. Okay. And people over here, but people over there. Okay, whatever. You know what I mean? I know you don't eat junk food, but statistics say that, you know what, the consumption of junk food in America is absolutely at astronomical highs. The amount of soda and fried food is just crazy. Matter of fact, they are saying that for the first time in America, our kids probably won't outlive their parents. And you know what it has to do with? It doesn't. Yeah, but see, for a long time, the medical profession was causing us to live longer. But what's happened is the food, the food what? Yeah, the food prep, the food industry, you know what, has overtaken the medical positives because of all the fried food and all the junk. I'm just being honest with you. Okay. I'm just being honest with you. And why is that? Can I tell you why that is? It's the same, love you guys, it's the same reason why most people who come to church, some of them Sunday and Wednesday, don't read their Bibles. Here's why it is. Because they're so fast, they're so used to instant gratification. They're used to this instant gratification. The Bible talks about not despising small beginnings. Listen, if you do what I would advise you to do, it would be this. It would be to, I handed them to you last week. If you don't have one, go out when we exit and do not pass go. Do not collect $100. Just go right to the information center and get your daily Bible reading. Right now, we're in, today we're in Philemon, okay? Philemon, okay, and you only have one shot to read Philemon because only one chapter, amen? Yeah. If you're reading Philemon, if you're looking for Philemon chapter 2 tomorrow, you ain't gonna find it, amen? She said, we're in Philemon, where is it? Okay, there's only one chapter, okay? So you only have one shot at this. But here's what's not going to happen. You're not going to read Philemon today, and all of a sudden you're walking away, and you're like, oh, Pastor's right. I walk in the power of God now. Yeah. Here's what will happen. When you will say to God, by taking the time, not by talk. One of the things that we read recently in Titus, Titus, he's been told, hey, listen, make sure, in Timothy before that, make sure that your Christianity is not just in talk, but it's also in walk. It's in, the New King James says, by your good conduct. Not you talking, but by you opening up your Bible and turning and finding, Pastor, I don't even know where Philippians is. Okay, well, open your Bible and look for it. It's real small, only one chapter. But listen, it's there. Well, actually, you know where it is. It's right after what?
Titus,
right? Okay. So right after Titus is Philemon. And here's what's going to happen if you open your Bible and just read one chapter today. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. But by you simply opening up your Bible and reading Philemon, God is going to speak to you today. And I don't know what verse it'll be. I know what chapter it'll be. It'll be first chapter. But I don't know what verse it'll be. But something will be in that verse, and the Holy Spirit will say, that's what I'm talking about right there. I say, Pastor, how do you know that'll happen? Trust me, it'll happen, because it happens to me every day. Because I know the character of God. And God isn't trying to not have deep relationship intimacy with you. He wants to have intimacy with you. Can I tell you what? I was listening this morning to Jim and Karen Evans, and they said, you know what the one thing, you know what the number one thing that keeps intimacy out of the relationships of your life, your marriage relationships, do you know what it is? It is busyness. Number one thing. He didn't say busyness. He called it distractions. Can I tell you what? None of us wake up in the morning and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I ain't going to read my Bible today. Because I'm going to walk in rebellion to God. When's the last time you said that? You didn't say that. You don't think that. But let me ask you, you know what? Don't raise your hand. But how many of you at the end of the day got too busy, you know what, and the whole day went by and you didn't read one chapter? I don't want you to read a book a day. I want you to read one chapter a day. But there's something that happens when you walk. You know what it is? It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of humility. And here's what you're saying. When you open up your Bible to God, you're saying, God, you're smarter than me. You're in the most practical way, about practical, you're saying, God, I can't do this alone. Husbands, you know what? Stop trying to love your wives, you know what, in your own ability. Because I'm telling you what, you can't. And you're getting frustrated. I love what I heard Jimmy Evans say also today. He said, you know what? He said, I pray to God. I said, God, help me to love my wife, you know what, supernaturally. You know, wives, stop trying to honor your husbands. It's like, oh, this guy's so unhonorable. How can I do it? Can I tell you what? Your problem is you're doing it in the flesh. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. You got to do it supernaturally. Amen. When you open up your Bible, here's what you're saying. You're saying, God, I can't do this thing alone. It's called life. I can't do it alone. I tried. Can I tell you why you mess up your life? You mess up your life the same reason why I mess up my life. And I'm going to say it again. You know, it's repetitive. Here's why. Because you're stupid. What'd Pastor say today? Oh, he said it was stupid, amen? Okay, maybe I misheard that. I don't think you're supposed to go in church and be insulted. You know what I mean? Why do you say I'm stupid? Here, I love you guys. Because you are, amen? But let's get real. Can I tell you what? So am I. So am I. If you're not stupid, raise your hand. See, we all are, amen? Or let me ask you, you know, but here's the thing. We've all done stupid things, have we not? And here's why. Because you act on your will. And when you open up your Bible, listen, when you open up your Bible and read the word, you know what you find? You know what this is? This is His will. And all of a sudden you're reading something and you're thinking a certain way, you're thinking, man, wow, that's good. And His will all of a sudden gets in your mind and it gets in your heart. This is full of wisdom. Today I was driving to church. You know what? I was driving to church. Amen. How many know I love to go to church? I love to go to church so much that I was driving 80 miles an hour to get to church. That's how much I love church. You know what? And if the officer pulled me over, I said, Officer, I'm sorry. I just love church so much. How many of that officer probably wouldn't go, okay, well, shoot, go 95 next time. You know what I mean? But you know what? There's a passage of scripture that says that we are supposed to obey the laws of the land. You know that? And what if, and thank God by God's grace I didn't get pulled over today, but what if one day I read that, and what if that same day when I looked at the speedometer, I thought, man, I got to go down to 65. And what if, you know what, a mile ahead there was a cop, and he just had one of those guns. You know, he's looking for you. You know what I mean? He's looking for anybody who's going over the speed limit. And you know what? And you saw it, and you were going over the speed limit, and that wisdom caused you to bring. How much time would that save? How much money would that save? Come on, some of you look at me like, oh, Pops, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never gone to traffic school at all. Yes, you have. You know, how come you know the person who runs it by name? Okay. How come? Okay. How much, would you like one day of your life back? You know, God could give it back in your wisdom. What about your marriage? What about how you relate to your kids? You know, I'm telling you, this is all wisdom that's right here. But can I tell you what it takes for you to walk in that wisdom? It takes for you to humble out and recognize you need help. And it's the pride. It's pride. Can I tell you what keeps you to say, you know what? Oh, I'm too busy. Can I tell you what it really is? Can I be really honest with you what it is? Here's what it is. It's your pride. And your pride says, not by your words, but by your actions, your pride says this. God, I got this. I got this. I would humbly say to you, you don't have this. And I don't have it either. And it's in recognizing that I don't have it that causes me to open up my Bible, causes me to get on my phone, you know what I mean? Because I don't have a sheet, you know what I mean? But I got a phone, and I go to our website, and I look it up, and I say, oh, where are we today? You know what I mean? And I find out where we are, and I open up my Bible, and I do exactly what I ask you to do, which is to read one chapter of the New Testament. Sometimes we read two, but usually it's just one chapter. Pastor, you don't want me to read the whole Bible? No, you know, yeah, like these people. Oh, I'm going to read the whole Bible this year, you know what I mean? And I got to read 8 chapters a day, you know what I mean? And they read 8 chapters, and they're like, what did you remember? What did you learn? Oh, no. I don't want you to do that. I want you to just turn to Philemon today. And I don't mind if you read Philemon 3 times. But I just want you to read it, and I want you to open up your heart and say, God, speak to me. Your servant is listening. And not right away. Oh, back to the food thing. Sometimes I forget where I was going. Back to the food thing. The reason why we go through that fast food is because we want this immediate gratification. So you're not going to read Philemon, and you're not going to be a spiritual giant. All of a sudden, your marriage ain't going to be fixed because you read one chapter. But can I tell you what's going to happen? But give yourself a little time. Because if you'll put God first place in your life, in a short period of time, you'll be amazed on how powerful you'll be. You'll be amazed. It doesn't take a long time. But if you read a chapter today, and then a chapter tomorrow, and then a chapter tomorrow, and then a chapter the next day, and then a chapter the next day, in a short period of time, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take his wisdom. His ways are higher than your ways, and his ways are going to become your ways. And when his ways, his paths are dripping with abundance. Abundance of what? Abundance of prosperity in your relationship with your wife and your husband. Abundance in wisdom to walk in forgiveness. Abundance in wisdom to be generous. And all these things have incredible positive consequences. See, can your life turn around? It can. What's going to do it? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. The wisdom of God's word. And you're going to put it, you can just open up your Bible. And when you open up your Bible and you just spend a little bit of time, you're saying, God, you're smarter than me. I can't run my life by myself. And I need your help. And when you do that, God says, I'm right there for you. I'm going to show you things I've been waiting for you. I'm going to show you things that you've never seen before. And I'm going to make correction in your life. I'm going to teach you things. And I'm telling you what. I'll close with this, but I need to be honest with somebody. A ways back, I won't tell you how ways back, but a ways back in my life, I used to open up the Bible, and I'd the first thing I'd look is at, because I'd think, man, I hope my chapter is short today. I know none of you ever thought that, I mean, but I'm telling you, I did. Oh, I hope my chapter is short today. You know what I mean? I don't know. After we get past Philemon, then we're going to be in Hebrews. And I don't know when it will be, but I guarantee you this is going to happen at some point, because it happened to me. It happened to me as I was faithful, disciplined, to start reading the Word of God, and I started reading the Word of God every single day, and I started to recognize, oh my goodness, this is wisdom. This is what I need. I thought, oh, I hope my chapter's short. Love you guys. Because I was prideful and very stupid. But at some point in time, I recognized that's is where wisdom is. Now I don't do that. Now I just look and say, praise God. If I have to flip a page, I flip a page and say, praise God, more wisdom for me today. And I don't just say that. I really think that. Tamara and I love you. And I pray that I really want to apologize. I didn't mean to call you stupid. I think I called you stupid twice, okay? But I did mean what I said. We are foolish. You know what? As we have the Word of God, His wisdom right in front of us, and if we open it up, God will give it to it every single day. Sweetie.
I'm glad you fixed that. We can be the smartest people. You know what? If we'll submit ourselves to God's word, amen? Because that's where wisdom comes from. And that's where truth comes from. So it's really our choice. Will you find that scripture that Pastor had there, the one that in Timothy that talked about saving yourself? And Timothy 4 something. Okay, put that on the screen for me, and I'm going to get to it in a second. In our Bible reading this week, and two things have been happening here at Hope. We have been encouraging you, both things by the Spirit of God. We didn't just have a good idea, but the Spirit of God is prompting us to encourage the congregation to do two things. One is that we would begin to pray Psalms 91 over our families on a daily basis. The second thing that the Spirit of God is really pushing to the top is that we've said for years, you know, at Hope we read our Bible every day. You know what? But a couple of weeks ago or so, we began to say, I hope that is not just you finishing the sentence. I hope that's a lifestyle in your life. Because the Spirit of God is challenging us, you know what, to challenge the congregation to be sure that these are not words that we know, but it's a lifestyle that we live. Why is that? Well, because as we talk about our nation today and celebrate our nation today, one of the things that's happening in our nation is that our nation is moving further and further from God. For many of you, you've watched The Harbinger with us, and we see the consequence from our Bibles. What happens to a nation when they begin to move away from God? And one of the things that happens in a nation that moves away from God is that they lose prosperity, financial prosperity. Do we see that happening in our nation? Another thing that happens in a nation when they move away from God, and when I say move away from God, I'm not talking about lip service, see? I'm talking about not just being able to finish my sentence, we read our Bible, but that we actually live that. So when a nation is moving away from God, i.e., not running the country that way anymore by His standards, making sure, not only do we not run the country that way, but then let's get these Ten Commandments out of our courthouses, and by all means, get the Bibles out of the schools, And you all know the rest. And get In God We Trust off of our money. And we've seen this go on for a while, but here's from your Bible. See, knowing your Bible is a real safety to you in so many ways. It is the wisdom of God. It is the protection of God. It is the truth of God. And so in our Bible, we see that what happens when a nation moves away from God, stops governing themselves by God's ways, that what happens is there's lack of protection also. Have we seen that happening in our country? And it's not God. I mean, we could be foolish and point our finger to God and say, hey, God, why are you letting this happen? Who's letting it happen? Exactly. We're the ones who are allowing, we, God's people, who know the benefits of God and who know the consequences of not governing God's ways. We just do whatever we do, and I don't know what that is. You know what I mean? We don't conduct our own lives by his way. We say we don't like these people. You know, we're not going to go and vote. You know, I don't like either one of them, so I'm not going to go vote. We don't vote for people who govern by God's standards. They don't care about God. And we don't care that they don't care about God. We don't have time to do our homework. We let them bamboozle us by waving a flag and saying God here and there and holding a baby. We don't take time to look at their voting record. Let's see. This is what God said, and this is what this guy's doing. Okay, that's not where my vote's going. Because I understand that it's important, you know what, that things are run the way God says that they be run. Because if they're not run the way God says they're going to be run, you know what my Bible tells me? That I'm going to suffer. Are we too busy to stop suffering to come to our own doorstep? I guess so. It's what it's been so far. But how much suffering will come to us before we wake up and recognize that everything that the Bible says is truth? And it's not going to change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like the Israelites paid what they paid, so shall we pay what we pay. What are we going to do? Are we going to be a people who come back to knowing who our God is? And obeying our God? Those who obey God are sons and daughters of God. Those are the ones who are sons and daughters. There's a gentleman by the name of, I've talked about him before. First, let me tell you, this week in our Bible reading, you know what, you read with me, Titus in chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, 1 I think it was, it says that knowledge of truth leads to godliness. And we've been ripping God's truth out of all kinds of places in our nation, leading to what's the opposite of godliness? A lot of ungodliness. But as our nation is doing this, we as God's people, the reason why God is calling us, and God's just this last week as Pastor and I were talking, just really brought this to the forefront. The reason why he's pushing us as a body of Christ to make sure that we are reading our Bible every day and to make sure that we're praying Psalms 91 over, you know what, over our families every day. And 2 years ago, we began to believe that every single person at Hope would be a tither. What's this all about? You know what God showed me this week? He's, regardless of what the nation is doing, he's getting us, see, we can make our own choices as individuals to protect ourselves in our prosperity, in our protection, to make our own ark. But if we're not aware of God's word, and if we're not intimate with our God, see, our nation, many of us, you know what? We've been able to be kind of like gold bricking Christians. You know what I mean? We can call ourselves Christian and we can gold brick it. You know why? Because our nation was walking in the prosperity and the protection of God's ways from the just the way that we conducted ourselves. But that's not our nation anymore. They're moving more and more from that. So for us as individuals to be sure that we stay under the wing of the shadow of the Almighty, what do we have to do? We got to take responsibility for ourselves, which means we need to take responsibility to make sure that we can hear God's voice and that he can direct us. Don't go here. Don't go there. Because, see, the protection isn't there anymore. Many people in 9/11 who were believers, which you're not going to find this on Channel 7, you find it is, you know how we found out? Being in ministries, talking with friends, you know what, whose ministries had people who worked in that building. And the Spirit of God told them, don't go to work today. And they didn't go. And they didn't know why they weren't going. They knew later on, didn't they? Will you ever forget that day? I'll never forget that day. I know exactly where I was. I can remember the morning as vividly as it was today. But you see, today I must pray Psalms 91 over my family to be able to be sure, and I must make sure that I don't get too busy to be in God's word, to make sure that I can hear his voice, to be sure that I don't get distracted, because that protection is lifting off of our nation. As our nation just says, we don't need God. Well, it didn't get this way overnight, and it's not going to get fixed overnight. But I'll tell you what, in the meantime, as for me and my house, and that better be your attitude, you know what? Because it has come to a time that this is individually on each one of us. To watch out for our own prosperity. And I mean our own, meaning with God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying God is never looking for us to take charge of our own decisions. He's looking for us to govern our lives by his ways. And it used to happen in our nation. Naturally, it doesn't happen that way anymore. Now you take responsibility and you make sure it's for you and your house. Amen? And if we'll do that, we can protect ourselves in spite of what's going on around us. Stephen Scott, this is so awesome. You're going to love this. Stephen Scott, after graduating college, he had 9 jobs in a 6-year period working in the corporate world. Every one of them he got fired from. Every one of them he got fired. In his depression of just, you know, is like, what the heck? Because he's very unsuccessful. He has a good friend. A good friend who's a believer. Can I have that scripture, please? A good friend who's a believer. And this believer tells him this. He said, you know what you need to do? You want to be successful? I'll tell you what you do. You need to read Proverbs every day. And so this gentleman, that's the counsel. And look at, go to the next thing. Watch what it says. To save both yourself and those who hear you. So he, because he walks in that wisdom himself, his buddy who is a believer, who has a relationship with God, he counsels his friend. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you why you're all unsuccessful. Because you don't know God's ways. You don't have his wisdom. You want to be successful? Open up the Proverbs. That is the wisdom of God. Get it in you and begin to conduct your life with it. Don't let a day go by that you are not in the Proverbs. So he begins to do this. Sounds kind of silly, right? Can you imagine? Got a college degree, 6 years, 9 jobs later, someone tells you to read a book. Not a book. Someone tells you, you know what, how to obtain the wisdom of God. That's what happened to him. So he begins doing that. He becomes a millionaire over and over and over again. And he says, when they ask him, what's your secret? Because he's been on Larry King and everything all over the place. What's your secret? Here's what he says. He became more intimate with God. That's his secret. We have the opportunity, every one of us, today at least. You know, there's a lot of countries where they can't even have a Bible. We have ours and we pretend like it's worthless. But today we have an opportunity where we can take the Word of God and do exactly what God is encouraging us, which is to spend time with Him daily, that we can become more intimate with Him. And as we do that, you know what? We're going to be able to save both ourselves and those who will hear us. Amen? Amen. It's good. It's a good word. And it's not, it's such a timely word. Again, I say, it's not a good idea to read your Bible every day. You know what? And to read Psalms 91 and proclaim that over your family every day. But that's what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Do this. Do this. And that scripture in Titus says, you know, listen, you got something you're struggling with? You got something that's been hanging around in your life that you know shouldn't be there? Real simple. What does the Word of God do according to Titus? It brings godliness to us. If we'll, you see, we have the answer. We say that all the time, but we have the answer. We just need to diligently, daily, you know what, do what we're doing. And trust in God. And things turn around. Amen? Amen. Because His Word is alive. It's alive. That's what the Bible says. And it's health to those who find it. We're finding it. Amen.